keeping you country company. Dakota Country, KOKK Huron.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. Plenty of high school football across the state last night as we're winding down the regular season. Less than 2 weeks for playoffs beginning for 9-man and 11B. Huron Tigers took the number one ranking in 11AA out on the field for the first time last night. Final home game of the regular season and senior night with Huron hosting Aberdeen Central. Huron took control of the game early and cruised to a 39-0 shutout win. Landon Hulst, another 100-yard game rushing. Most of his yards came in the first half, 17 carries, 108 yards, 2 touchdowns. Hulst also added a pair of receptions for 50 yards. Anderson Porish was 15 of 23 passing for 228 yards, 2 touchdowns. Also carried the ball 8 times for 51 yards and another 2 touchdowns. James Schultz Jr. had a 34-yard touchdown reception. Mason Juergens took on in from 32 yards out on a pass from Porish. Defensively, Oakley Anderson had 11 tackles, 3 assists, and a sack as Huron held Aberdeen to under 200 total yards. Tigers are now 6-1 on the season, 2 games left in the regular season, both on the road at Mitchell and at Brookings. Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central stayed undefeated last night. They defeated Chamberlain by a score of 20-8. For the Bucks, Wesley Molnar had a 3-yard touchdown run. Luke Larson a 2-yard run. Larson also threw an 11-yard touchdown pass to Colby Flowers. The Bucks are 7-0. Highest scoring game of the night last night was Iroquois Lake Preston as they defeated Oldham Ramona Rutland 72-46. I believe the Sharks actually trailed at halftime but had a big third quarter to break the game open. For ILP, Bryson Blue was 10 of 16 passing for 216 yards, 6 touchdown passes, 33 and 29 yards to Lucas Pesky, 11 and 17 yards to Irvin Carter, 53 yards to Aiden Query, and 15 yards to Carter Arbiter. Pesky accounted for a total of 5 touchdowns. He also carried the ball 18 times for 303 yards and 3 touchdowns. For ILP, Ben Curd recorded 12 tackles, 3 assisted, and also had a sack. Fulton shut out Hitchcock Tulare 51-0. Florence Henry the shutout of Redfield 24-0. DeSmit shut out Great Plains Lutheran 36-0. For the Bulldogs, Slayton Wilkinson had 177 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns, 71, 19, 25, and 2 yards. Added 15 tackles on defense. Coy Van Riggenmorter added a 6-yard touchdown run for the Bulldogs as well. Clark Willow Lake blasted Mobridge last night 44-6. Mount Vernon Plankinton shut out Miller Highmore Herald 24-0. And an interesting game last night just kind of caught my attention this morning. Not an area game, but Elkton Lake Benton, ranked number 3 in 9AA, defeated Britton Hecla 36-13. Officially, though, Elkton Lake Benton went 2-0 yesterday and Britton Hecla 1-1. Both received forfeit wins last night. Elkton Lake Benton from Dewbrook and Britton Hecla from Wilmot. When both teams found they now had an open date last night, they got together and played in Britton. So again, Elkton Lake Benton officially 2-0 last night, Britton Hecla 1-1. Move to the 11AA scores last night. Watertown surprised second-ranked T-Area 15-7. Spearfish rolled over Douglas 56-6. Pier is hitting their stride. They shut out Sturgis 44-0. Yankton slipped past Brookings 14-7. In AAA, Brandon Valley defeated AA Mitchell 49-7. AAA scores, Roosevelt edged Stevens 30-22. Washington defeated O'Gorman 20-17. O'Gorman fumbled the ball away at the Washington 2-yard line with about 2 minutes to go, allowed the Warriors to hang on for the win. Lincoln rolled to a 55-28 win over Rapid City Central. And Sioux Falls Jefferson came from behind and defeated Harrisburg 31-28. That's our high school football scores from last night. did have volleyball as well. Huron Tigers were at home at the arena as they hosted number 4 Rapid City Stevens. Stevens got the sweep of Huron last night, 25-16, 19-19. Huron drops to 5-10. They will host Rapid City Central today. Mitchell defeated Central in straight sets, 25-11, 10, and 26-24. One other score, Aberdeen's playing a tournament up in Fargo. West Fargo defeated Aberdeen in 3 sets last night. Girls AA tennis tournament wrapped up yesterday as well. Rapid City Stevens is the champion, 486.5. Sioux Falls Lincoln, runner-up, 417.5. Then Harrisburg third, 381.5. Mitchell fourth, 287. Yankton fifth at 257. Schedule for today, as I mentioned, Huron Tiger Volleyball hosting Rapid City Central at the arena. We'll shoot for a 12:30 start, 12:10 pre-match today on Tiger. Wolsey Wessington's got tournament play today. They're at the Gettysburg Invitational. Cross Country ESD Conference meet is in Mitchell today. And the state soccer playoffs continue today as well. Class A has semifinals today for boys. Top seed James Valley Christian will host Belle Fouche, the number 5 seed, 4 o'clock this afternoon. The other side of the bracket, number 3 seed Freeman Academy is at number 2 seed Vermilion. Class A girls, number 4 Groton's at top seed Dakota Valley, number 3 St. Thomas More at number 2 Sioux Falls Christian. Quarterfinals in AA, boys 8 seed O'Gorman's at top seed Lincoln. The upset side of the bracket is number 13 Brandon Valley at number 12 Watertown. Number 7 Sturgis travels to number 2 Sioux Falls Jefferson. Number 6 Sioux Falls Christians at number 3 Aberdeen. Double A girls, 8 seed Aberdeen's at top seed Stevens. Number 5 Roosevelt's at number 4 O'Gorman. 7 seed Yankton's at 2 seed Harrisburg. And 11 seed Watertown is at number 3 seed Pierre. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, lots to talk about. We'll visit with Jory Wiff, head soccer coach, James Valley Christian, as they look for a second consecutive trip to the state finals later today. We'll talk with Angie Thomas, cross-country coach for the Huron Tigers, preparing to run at ESD today. Drew Strand, head coach, Huron Tiger football, will be on to visit as well. And we will also review the Minnesota Twins season from... That finished up just 2 weeks ago. Of course, they fired Rocco Baldelli right after the season. Derek Falvey will give his thoughts on making the move in the dugout and more. That's your Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at about 9 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy. An overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
First up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk with Jory Wiff, head coach of the James Valley Christian boys soccer team. The Vikings have a semifinal they're hosting today with Belle Fouche, as they are the top seed in the field here heading into the postseason. And coach, first off, I got you, 12-1 on the season. Expectations were high with a runner-up last year and didn't lose anybody for graduation. So you knew this type of season was possible, and obviously the kids picked up the mantle and made sure it happened so far this year.
Yeah, it's been a very good season. yeah, most of the team back, knew those expectations were there, but I've tried not to dwell on those as much as just continuing to get better. But the kids did. They set some goals, of course, at the beginning of the year, and one of those was certainly to get back to that final game, defend our home field, and then they also set a defensive goal for goals that they wanted to allow. They wanted to improve on the defensive side of the ball, and we've done very well so far in all of those things. We're in the position we hope to be in at this point anyway.
Well, let's just start with the defense there, because I was kind of going through that. I think if I counted right, yeah, out of your 13 matches you played now, you've had 6 shutouts. So defense and goalie, you know, they kind of work hand-in-hand to make that goal happen.
Yeah, last year I think we talked about the improvement we had seen on offense and the number of goals we were able to put up last year, but we also allowed 49, I think, last year, and the schedule's not exactly the same, so not quite apples to apples maybe, but we've only allowed 12 so far to this point with those 6 shutouts, 4 of them here lately. And so I would say this year, that's been the point of major improvement, has been on the defensive side of the ball. And that's important because you end up with close games when you play the best teams in the big games. And we had several close games early, 4-3-2 wins early in the season, as the division seemed to have a little more parity in it maybe than it has in the past. And so there were several close games even to start this season where we had to be really good defensively and otherwise. But that's been just really encouraging, the growth and the improvement on the defensive side of the ball this year.
Let's just run down the roster, talk about some of the kids. Since we're talking defense, you start there. I believe Jonah Niederbaumer is your goalie, and obviously a strong defensive front in front of him.
Yeah, so this is his third year now as the starting goalkeeper, and he's played, I think, every minute of that time. And he's become our vocal leader back there, and that's one of his strengths, is his communication for us. And he's had a very good season, was the defensive player of the game in last year's championship game, actually, so the physical side is there, too. In front of him, Isaac Wiff is our sweeper. He came to us as a freshman and played on the wing for a season, and so this is his third year as a sweeper, so we've grown into that role. One of our bigger, most athletic kids, just really fast, wins out of the air well for us. Has a big leg, which can be an advantage in certain situations as well. He's got 3 goals out of that defensive position as well, as we look occasionally to run him forward just a little bit, including on corner kicks. Monty Gross, this is only his second year with us. He plays on the defensive wings and is just another athlete, really, really fast as well. Been a nice addition for us. Luke Miller plays the other side. Again, very quick. We have a lot of speed defensively from those 3 positions. Isaac and Monty are seniors, as is Colby Vanderwerf, who plays in front of them, kind of a, we say stopper, you might say defensive midfielder, holding midfielder. So he's been a captain, as has Isaac, the last couple of years. He's very active, seems to always be around the ball, and never seems to lack for effort and activity. Pretty versatile player, likes to get forward a little bit also. And so those guys have been very good this year for us.
Then go with the attacking positions there, because, you know, a lot of names, again, we're going to recognize because everybody's back pretty much.
Yeah. So Isaac Fast, the 8th grader, leads us with 14 goals so far this season and a couple of assists, just has a nose for the ball, being around the ball, and good foot skills. Also an underrated defender. Everybody has to do both, of course. Noah Fast, Sophomore has 9 goals and 6 assists. I describe him maybe as kind of our glue in the middle, handling the ball, distributing the ball, making things happen. Sometimes Isaac is in the midfield. Sometimes he's at a forward position. Noah's primarily in the midfield. They both do a good job when they're in the midfield. Coming back for us as well and helping out defensively. Gavin Waldner has 11 goals and 8 assists. One of the more dynamic playmakers in our division. Just the athletic ability is again, just phenomenal. And then we've got contributions from lots of other people. A little bit here and there. Colby Vanderhoof has a couple of goals. Isaac Whiff, like we said, has 3 out of the back. Keegan Hood has a couple goals and has really improved this season. Carson Doris has 4 goals and 3 assists from one of our midfield wing positions. Keegan Lowen has a goal, a big one against Mitchell, a game winner just last week. Monty Gross has a goal out of the back. John Estrada and Skylar Theobar have come off the bench, as well as Jonah Miller, and given us important minutes. Skylar and John both have a goal for us. Kaysen Ober has one off the bench. So, yeah, lots of contributions.
You know, not only that, Colby Vanderwerf is the one name that sticks out to me, but you might be have a few others there too, but I know he's running cross country as well, so you can't say he's not in shape.
Yeah, Colby and Keegan Lowen are doing double duty this fall and have really had an important impact on the cross country team as well. We've managed to stay healthy though too, and that's obviously important when you're trying to accomplish goals and have big things in mind, and so far we've been fortunate in that category also.
Again, we're talking with Jory Whiff, head boys soccer coach for James Valley Christian. The Vikings hosting Belle Fouche this afternoon in a semifinal game. I believe it begins at 4 o'clock. And looking back, Jory, see, you did play Belle. It was back during the state fair. It was a 5-1 win for your side. Belle Fouche had to go on the road on Tuesday as they went over to Groton. And it sounds like that was a bit of a wild one. They ended up going to the shootout with the shootout score being 7-4 in favor of Belle Fouche. And that's what brings them back to your place now here today.
Yeah, so early on, we had a stretch there of 4-3-2 wins. The anomaly in that stretch was Belle Fouche at 5-1, but that was a 2-1 game with 15 minutes to go before we kind of had the floodgates open a little bit there for us. So I would expect a tough match. It's a semifinal game. They're a physical team. We'll have to be ready for that. Not super surprised that they took Groton to double overtime and a shootout to get to that score. Both teams are athletic and physical. You have to be ready this time of the year. I thought we played well Tuesday against Hot Springs, certainly from an attacking perspective. There's some things we can maybe do better defensively, but maybe I'm being picky.
And we'll wrap it up with this. I think we have this conversation every year. There's 10 teams in Class A boys soccer this year. 8 of them are truly Class A. Then you and Freeman Academy are true Class B schools playing in Class A, because that's just the way the alignments go. But, it's kind of a plug for the small schools. You have the top seed. Freeman Academy is in the Final Four as well. And, you know, it's just the focus of the kids. Nice to have everybody pretty much back as well. But overall, you know, it's just got to be, you know, just works well for the program.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun this year to see even the improvement from last year, even though maybe some of it was expected. It's fun to see Freeman's success as well. That's a very good team with not a lot of seniors. While we're the one seed, we still like to play that the card that we're still maybe an underdog because we're still the little school.
Jory Whiff, head coach of the James Valley Christian boys soccer team. The Vikings are the top seed in the Class A playoffs, and they host Belle Fouche for a trip to the championship today. Starts at 4 o'clock at James Valley Christian School. We will be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We are back on Dakota Sports Saturday, and we talk here on Tiger Cross Country with head coach Angie Thomas. The Tigers in the stretch run of the season now, as they have ESD in Mitchell today. Head coach Angie Thomas joins us here. And coach, like I said, stretch run here, basically three meets left with ESD today, then the Lecker, then the state meet back in Huron. So kids have had a couple of months here, and right now you just need to be in your top form.
Yeah, you said it. I think the potential is there for a lot of them to run some faster times. It's just they need to have the confidence, and basically the confidence to start out the race a little better, and because they know they can finish it. Now we just need to start better and then maintain throughout the middle and end well.
And really, you know, there's been some things to work through here. The hot weather last week, I'm sure, had to be an issue. And you even mentioned, too, when you're up in Watertown, there were harvests going on all around the course, so there was dust flying and everything. But you usually don't expect that type of heat in the first week of October.
No, we definitely do not. In fact, I can't remember Watertown ever being quite that warm. So, I mean, just the temps this season have been unseasonably warm, and, you know, it's nice that things have cooled off a little this week. It's a little more like fall running weather, but I've noticed it in the kids, too. I mean, it's hard to run in the heat, and it really does take a lot out of the runners and the athletes when they're running in that heat. It takes a longer time to recover.
And not only that, then it also really kind of changes how you handle the workouts prior to any meet.
Oh, you're absolutely right. We have to shorten the workouts a little more. We're trying to find more routes that are shaded, so we do more in-town running rather than getting out and about and getting those longer routes in. So it does change up how we coach, and, you know, we do have to back off on the mileage a little bit, and we do try to get water to the kids. Whenever we head out to Broadland Creek to practice on Mondays, we're taking water out with us and a little more break time and making sure that they have that water that they need.
Well, let's look ahead to today now down in Mitchell. First off, with the girls, you know, up and down that lineup, this, you know, you got a lot of experience with your group of girls for the most part.
We do. Our high school girls, you know, unfortunately, we only have four high school girls out. Our other high school girl did not come out this year. So the four high school girls we do have are all veterans as far as running, you know, varsity ESD, running at the state meet. We're led by Josie Vlieger, our senior. Lily Meyer and Nora Pester are our juniors, and Lily Swanson, our sophomore. Harper Spilde is our eighth grade girl that we've had to pull up and try to get her to, you know, run at that varsity level and try to maintain her confidence. But it is hard. I mean, it's tough for an eighth grade girl to get out there and compete against varsity runners that have been running at that level and those distances, because varsity is a 5K, whereas middle school is a 3K. Most of the the schools in our conference and the meets we go to, the JV are still running at the 4K distance. So for Harper to step up and run at that 5K distance, it is tough. It's tough on her. And I mean, but I really want the girls to fill a team, and that's what we're going to do today at ESD. And I just hope that Josie Bleeger and Lily Meyer, I think they have the potential. I know they have the potential to run faster times than what they've been putting in. And then we really need Nora Pester and Lily Swanson to step up and run a little faster. And then Harper Spilde, absolutely, we need her to get up there too.
And switching to the boys' side, again, you have a little experience over there too. But boys have been struggling a little bit this year, and between injuries, a few other things, really haven't gotten up to their complete potential. But, you know, now's the time to do so.
It is. We've been trying to encourage them all season. You know, Tegan Lean was our top runner there for a while, and then he was nursing a hip injury. So we backed up on his mileage, and we had him on the bike a couple days. And then in Watertown, he was just congested and a little sick, so it was hard to breathe. And then you add the temperature, and then you add the harvesting around it, it makes it even harder to breathe. So I looked to Tegan. He's been feeling better this week, both physically, you know, as far as his hip goes, and he seems to be breathing better. So I look forward to Tegan having a better race today. And James Weir is another one that he stepped up then when Tegan wasn't feeling well, and he stepped up and started running better as well. With James, he just needs to start out faster. He gets too far back, and then by the time he starts bringing it on toward the end, he's already out of the race. So if James puts that together today, I see him having a good race. And then Max Radke has come a long way throughout the season. He's our sophomore that we've pulled up to varsity. Sebastian Olivo has started to run good the last couple meets as well. He's our junior. We'll be running him varsity today. And then Emerson Sarvis is our other junior that will be running varsity today, so we can fill a boys team.
And you're, as I said, you're Donna Mitchell, by the way. Again, Angie Thomas, head cross-country coach for the Huron Tigers, preparing for ESD today. Donna Mitchell, just tell us about that course. No two courses are the same. Some have their unique challenges. Tell us about Mitchell.
Well, the thing about Mitchell is the last time we ran there was in either 2015 or 2016 when my middle son was running cross country. So I vaguely remember it. I remember there being a short, steep hill that they had to run three times. And I know it was toward the end of the race. They had to, within the last half mile of their race, they had to run it that last time. I even reached out to my son and he goes, yeah, I vaguely remember it. But you know, it's a relatively flat course if it's the same course as it was back in 2016. And then it'll have just that one short, steep hill. So, I mean, our athletes should be used to that. I mean, like I said, we go out to Broadland and practice out there every Monday. We work on hills that are like that. So now we just need that speed factor and the confidence that they need to run a fast race.
And then as far as ESD as a whole goes, who are you looking at, both girls and boys? I assume Harrisburg on the girls.
Yeah, Harrisburg is leading the girls, definitely. Brandon Valley is in the mix, and Pierre probably round out the top three. And then on the boys' side, Brandon Valley, Aberdeen Central, I think, kind of looking at the top two spots.
And just overall, you know, like I said, you've been practicing here about 2 months. Meet started there, I believe, right before the state fair, if I remember correctly. So here you are, three meets left, and, of course, two of them in Huron, which is nice as well. But you feel like, you know, there's been progress, but there's still more that can be had with both the girls and boys.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think that they have more in them, and by the time we get to the state meet, I feel like their time should be even faster, and we're on a course that we know and we're comfortable with. And even though it is a very, very hard course, I still believe that they can have some faster times.
And while we've been talking varsity, it sounds like you are seeing some promising things down low, especially with the middle school level. We've had some good results there, and of course the numbers is what you want to keep bringing up.
Yeah, you're right. Our middle school boys team, you know, I was running Charleston Wachter and Luke Vlieger. I was running them up at the JV level for a couple meets earlier on in the season, where they actually placed at the JV level. And then in Watertown, actually it was the Clyde Cotton meet. I put them down in the middle school race. I mean, there's over 100 kids on the line, so it is definitely competitive. And both Charleston and Luke placed in the top 10 for that race. I think Sawyer Storm was 15th. So overall, at the year-end, the Clyde Cotton invite, our boys were third. So those three boys are all eighth graders. Tucker Lean is our fourth runner. He's right there. And then our fifth runner, Edgar, and our sixth runner, Davin. Caden Sammons is another one that's right up there, too. So right now, our middle school boys are sitting third with just Pier and Brookings ahead of them. So I know they're all pretty excited about where they're sitting at ESD. And again, when you can have 10 entries, there could be over 100 boys on the line. And all those boys that Charleston, Sawyer, Luke, Tucker, Edgar, they all have a chance to place in the top 15. So they're pretty excited going into ESD. And I know we as coaches have tried to hype that up a little bit too. But it's been a long time since we've had so many of them running so well. And it's really exciting for our program.
Angie Thomas, head coach here on Tiger Cross Country. Tigers headed to the ESD conference meet in Mitchell coming up later on today. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Welcome back to Dakota Sports Saturday. Talking here on Tiger football with head coach Drew Strand. The Tigers, solid effort beginning to end last night. They shut out Aberdeen 39-0 at a big house in Tiger Stadium. Moved their record to 6-1 on the season. And, Coach, I remember at halftime, Corky and I were talking and just said, you know what, I think that was the best half of football this team has played this year. And then second half, pretty much the same.
Yep, you know, our guys came out with a goal and they really went after it and just came out, you know, ready to go on all three phases of the game, whether it was defense, offense, or even special teams, and just really put a complete game together and came out and showed, you know, why they're ranked so high and how good they are. And this was, I thought, the same thing, where it was just a complete all-around good game on how they started and how they finished the game and didn't give Aberdeen anything, you know, to kind of get back in the game and really controlled it all 48 minutes.
You know, the way it started, we get the pick by Landon Holst on their first snap, but are unable to put it into the end zone. I thought, oh, is this maybe where the magic carpet ride ends? But not really. Aberdeen goes down, has a chance to score. They're down to the 12-yard line. We stuff them and then drive it down the field 88 yards in 4 minutes and really never look back from that point.
Yep. I mean, our defense, you know, they've playing a lot more confident this season. Knowing that our offense is able to score, you know, being in the situations from past weeks of being behind, you know, at times and being able to put up points to get back to the lead or tie it up, even from week one in Yankton, being able to tie it up before half. So, you know, I think our defense kind of thrives a little bit better now, having confidence in the offense, and just the offense having the confidence to move the ball really helps. And just giving ourselves, you know, opportunities to score. And even though we came up short on that first drive, we had an opportunity there and just fell short. And, you know, the kids still had the confidence to come back out and be able to put up points. And our defense went back out having enough confidence to get another stop.
You know, really the mistakes, that's something that really stuck out last night. We did not turn the ball over. That's something we've really turned around from the beginning of the season. Meanwhile, I think we have forced four turnovers, three picks, and also a fumble recovery as well. And a couple of those we did turn into scores later on. So, you know, we're just starting to be a little more opportunistic. I think kids are just playing with a lot more confidence.
Yep, I mean, I think you can see the confidence and how fast our defense kind of flies around, and kids kind of understand what they're coached to do, and they're doing it at 100% effort and holding themselves accountable and doing it with discipline, you know, creating those turnovers for us, and then our offense just being a little bit smarter, and, you know, Anderson starting to read things better and make better decisions in his pass game and really getting comfortable back there and just protecting the ball while we're going. And those things, I think we have definitely kind of flipped a full 180 from the beginning of the season, and be able to take care of the ball and cut back on the penalties and things like that. The kids have done a good job of taking over that part. And those are kind of things that, you know, you can't really coach, you know, keeping the ball secure the whole time in the game. Some kids, you know, just don't understand that. But, you know, our kids do a good job of that. And then understanding the penalties and knowing that, you know, sometimes the penalties can be drive killers, and holding them so we don't have as many penalties during a game, so we don't have those situations to work through.
You know, Landon Holst had his fifth consecutive 100-yard game. In fact, he had most of his yardage in the first half. But with that, somebody's doing the job in front of him, the line. We just haven't talked about them enough, I think. But, you know, everybody started last year. We came back with a whole bunch of experience. And, you know, kids learned things last year, and it's showing this year.
Yep. I mean, going into this season, you know, and only replacing three guys on our offense, and a big phase of quarterback, you know, and then tight end spot, and just throwing different guys around. I think our O-line, you know, was a group that came back but still was in question of whether they were going to come out and perform, you know, for I think a lot of people in the state. And, you know, these guys have done a fantastic job week in and week out of communicating with each other, understanding the different looks and different things that we're going to see and the adjustments we have to make. And they've done a great job of coming out each week and, you know, getting through those and making holes for Landon and letting him run through. And Landon's got explosiveness to make explosive plays, and we just got to create holes for him. And there's times where, you know, he's got to break a couple tackles to get some yards. And then there's times where, you know, he's running through a hole clean. And, you know, it's all props to those linemen and those guys for being a tight-knit group and working together.
You know, and the defensive linemen, you know, nobody has flashy stats, but really, as much as anything, their responsibility is keep blockers off our linebackers. That leaves Oakley Anderson free, and now all of a sudden Ty Kleinsaucer's really coming around in that category as well. And, you know, where we do have an advantage now, we still have a lot of guys playing both ways, but especially along the line on defense, we rotate a lot of guys through. Rayshon Whip, Ben Cardona are mainly playing only defense now, and that helps get other guys some rest.
Yep, I mean, those two, and then having Noah Owen, you know, and Rayshon. Rayshon's kind of like our silent, you know, lineman in there. You know, he's not very big, but he goes hard every time, and he's always around the play. You know, he's always there. He does his job the way he's supposed to do it. You really never have to, you know, you don't hear our D coordinator yelling at him too much about his job, because he goes in and he knows his job and he does it well. And he's always finding ways to get around the ball, whether that's, you know, when he's got to come around that end and just kind of hammer down on a dive, or whether he's got to stay high and wide and contain the quarterback. And so just a great job of those guys just coming out and doing their job at the D-line. And I know our linemen around here don't get a lot of, you know, that praise, but, you know, it's about time that these guys kind of understand that. And I think our guys definitely in the room understand that, and they tell them every day, just by each week, of what our offense is putting up and how our defense is working and the tackles from the linebackers behind them. And so those guys have just been so unselfish all season and just continue to work, and that's what we need for this all to click.
And obviously you do have buy-in here too, because when you looked at Aberdeen, I don't know how it went as the game went along, but to start the game, they only had two guys going both ways. They would have had at least one, if not two, 300-pounders out there as well on offense. But you know, so that they should have been the more rested team, but I never saw any signs of fatigue the entire game last night.
Yep, I mean, our guys are bought in 100%, you know, and I think that's kind of been a theme for these guys after week one, coming out and taking a loss that we thought we could have been, you know, more competitive in, and then our guys just having, you know, the confidence to play and confidence to be able to come through every situation that this season has thrown at us. And, you know, they they get after it, and that's one thing that, you know, we have to, because we're not the biggest guys up front, and we're not the biggest and fastest guys at our skill positions. So, you know, those guys just flying around and making things happen. You know, we got guys running around at 150, 180 pounds when they're going up against guys that are 200-plus, and so just these guys just being fearless, being able to go through that has just been an awesome to watch and awesome to see this season.
You know, you look around Double A last night again. You're just not picking out anybody and saying that's the team to beat. You know, we have the number one ranking right now. That's all well and good, but you have to prove it on the field by the end of the season. But you know, Watertown beating T Area, that might open a few eyes. But the one that really opened my eyes, Pierce shut out Sturgis 44-0. I think the Governors are starting to find their stride.
Yep, I mean, they got a good staff. They're going to find ways. You know, they're the ones that find ways to win games, and you know, I think that O'Gorman game that they had last week probably gave that team a lot of confidence going in and just falling short to a Triple-A school. And so, you know, we're just kind of sitting here worrying about ourselves and working on our challenges and things that we need to do to be successful, you know, week in and week out, and our kids have done a great job of that. You know, coming into this week and being ranked number one in the media, I thought our kids were going to kind of, you know, it's kind of iffy on what our kids were thinking or if they were starting to think about playoffs. But, you know, I think our whole group understands the fact that each game, you know, it can change in a heartbeat. You know, you lose a game or something here or there, and all of a sudden the shifting happens, you know. And we've had a lot of shifts in Double A, except for, you know, I think we're the only team that's kind of stayed consistent enough. And there's other teams, you know, where one upset happens, but then they jump right back up after the next week. And so those are the things where a lot of the teams shift around, and we just have to worry on ourselves and don't worry about the shifts until the end of the season. And we put ourselves in a position where we can have success going into the playoffs.
So now two games on the road to wrap up the regular season, and first time in 3 years we've went down to Mitchell because we got to host them 2 years in a row. Of course, we went to Aberdeen 2 years in a row before last night, but Mitchell fell to Brandon Valley. They had to go Triple-A last night. They kind of went to more basic football. I know you're talking about it, unless they've changed things a little bit, like a T Area. They're doing a little more of that old-fashioned smash mouth, double wing, that sort of thing.
Yep, I mean, they run the wing T. They got that basketball kid out now that's out for football, and he does a good job. They'll spread him out and throw him the ball once in a while, and we'll have our work cut out for him, you know, against him just because he has the height advantage, and he's a decent player. So we're just going to have to, you know, defensively, we'll have to stay true to, you know, just keying our keys and our guys flying around again and just coming out, you know, explosive like they did this week. And offensively, we just got to keep putting in stuff to give our guys answers, you know, which I thought we've done a fantastic job. And Brightsman's been doing a good job of giving our kids different plays and giving teams different looks. So it's making it hard to plan for us. And just all the different stuff that we can throw at teams now, and our kids understanding the full playbook and being able to change things and give different looks, even on offense, you know, has been just a great benefit. And we got to continue to do that moving forward into Mitchell.
And we'll get more in-depth into Mitchell, but just the one thing, and I said it last night on the post game as well, records don't mean a whole lot in this thing. In the last 2 years when we hosted them here, they were pretty much must-win games for us to make the playoffs. We were able to pull out tight ones. This is a little different situation this year, but you know it will make Mitchell's season if they can knock us off.
Yep, and that's kind of how we've looked at every team, you know, coming in after we've got to where we are, and these kids, you know, for Huron have earned where they're at, and they just have to look at that every goal. And like I've told them week in and week out, you know, it can change after every Friday. You know, going into Friday's game, the rankings mean absolutely nothing until the game's over, because that's when the rankings shift and that's when they change. So we go into every week, every game, and it'll be no different going into Mitchell, where everyone's ranked the same. Everyone's starting 0-0 and the score is 0-0 on the kickoff. So we just got to find a way to stay focused, lock in, and just continue to bring the attitude and effort our kids have been bringing all season.
Stu Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers improved to 6-1 on the season with a shutout win over Aberdeen last night. On to Mitchell next Friday, 7 o'clock kickoff, 6:30 pregame on Tiger.